Brandon.
Jake, it is Wednesday. You know what that means?
That it's Wednesday?
Oh my God, you're the worst. I was totally setting you up for a plug for the show. It's Writer's Block Day.
It is Writer's Block Day.
So disappointed in you whenever you get a chance. Jesus. Anyways, hello everyone. Welcome to this week's episode of the Writer's Block. My name is Brandon Morehouse.
And I am Jake Flukiger.
And this week, because we missed last week's episode, and we'll get into that in just a second, we're going to do a two-part. We're going to do editing, and we're going to be talking about summer marketing. So we have a lot to talk about in a very short hour. So, Jake, hold on.
That was fascinating.
That was lovely. Where can everyone listen to us?
Well, if you go over to podbean.com, you can absolutely give us a listen and a follow and a like and a comment. And that way you'll be able to hear and get updated on all of our new episodes. Or you can listen to us on any streaming platform.
Yes, and you can follow us on any streaming platform. Also, we have a Facebook page now, correct?
We do.
We're going to... Just another outlet for people. Not everyone has Twitter. So if you know any writers or anybody that's interested in writing and they only have Facebook, please tell them to join us.
Absolutely.
Yes. And if you would like to join in, please hit that little microphone button in the bottom left corner of your screen on your phone and you can join in. It's an open discussion, right?
Absolutely.
We're like a co-op, like a writer's co-op.
It's a good way to describe it.
It is a very good way to describe it. Anyways, Jake, how have you been?
I have been better, but doing better today. So that works.
That's always that's a start.
For everybody who didn't know, we missed last week because I had to have my gallbladder removed. So I was like post-surgery and... Brandon thankfully was like, you know what, he's probably not with it and we're gonna have to just cancel. It's the first time we've canceled an episode and I feel so bad, but
we went over this, Jake. You don't need to feel bad. I wanted you to focus on healing, like you were just out of operation, right? Like you were on day two or three. You were loopy.
And I was more than loopy.
Via text, I was like, oh, he's not all there. I made the decision to cancel the show while it was last minute. That's why we did it. But that's our reasoning behind that. So
I will say that it would have been a very interesting show had we tried to do it.
Yeah, but I know you well enough to be, you would have been like, oh my God, that's me. That was me. Ugh. Like you would have hated yourself the next day. It's like when, this is how I describe it. You've never like been drunk.
Nope. I've never been drunk.
So sometimes when you're drunk, you think, and you're on the dance floor and you're dancing, you think you look like Britney, right? Like just hitting all the right moves and you just look amazing. And then you see a video of you the next day and you're like, I look like Elaine from Seinfeld. Like, ooh.
Oh my gosh.
Fucking rough to watch. I didn't want you to do that. I was not hitting like I thought I was. Like,
see, and this is what best friends are for. To prevent you from doing awful things to yourself.
I didn't want you to make a fool out of yourself. So other than that, how's your week been?
It's been pretty good. Today's probably the first day that I haven't been super in pain and I feel somewhat normal. So that's good.
Good. That's what we wanted. See, things are getting better.
And I went to the dentist and I don't have any cavities.
I fucking hate you. God, okay, good on you. Right.
don't hate on me just because I've never had a cavity.
Get the hell out of here. Get the fuck out of here. Leave. We're done. Fucking real. Good on you. I, on the other hand.
I will say it's genetics because it has to be because I am not that amazing at taking care of my teeth.
You know, genetics has a bigger play on our health than we give it credit for. And my parents don't have the best teeth. But I try to take good care of mine.
You have beautiful teeth.
I don't know about that. Anyways. All right, let's move on. So for those of you that don't know, every week one host hits the other. It's our off-topic topic, and it's my turn to hit Jake with the topic. He doesn't know what I'm going to ask him.
Which I'm nervous.
I'm excited because I literally just thought of it 2 minutes ago.
You are such a dork. Oh my gosh.
I don't prepare for this at all. Usually if there's a topic throughout the week that has like, oh, that would be interesting, I'm going to ask Jake about that. But there hasn't been one, so I'm going to ask him this one. Jake.
Yes.
This past week, I gave my godson my entire collection of graphic novels.
Okay.
Entire collection.
Okay.
So that makes me wonder, who's your favorite superhero?
Ooh, I love this one. My favorite superhero is Captain America.
You fucking would.
Of course I would.
Why?
Because he's who I want to be when I grow up.
Shut the hell up. You're ridiculous. And if anyone has any, like, your favorite superhero, please comment. Okay, I will accept that, and it's only I busted out laughing because my favorite superhero is Iron Man.
I know. And Brandon, why is your favorite superhero Iron Man?
I think it's mainly because he doesn't have any superpowers. Like, yeah, he's got that arc reactor in his chest, but I've always had a lot more respect for, like, Batman and Iron Man. Mind you, they're trillionaires. Yeah, that would be nice.
So you want to be him when you grow up?
I would love to have that much money to start with. We'll start there and spread it around to the community. But I like that they're holding their own and they're looking at it from a human perspective where it's just like, I'm just doing what it's the right thing to do. Like, so that takes a lot of effort to be like, I'm just an average person. Yeah, I've been given an advantage and I'm using it to make other people's lives better. So I would have to go with Iron Man.
Plus, you already have the Tony Stark attitude down.
I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. I don't have any attitude.
You are sassy.
Fat game sassy over here.
Oh, whatever.
All right. Let's get on with the show. Let's start with editing. We'll kind of cover that for a little bit, and then we'll move on to summer marketing.
Okay.
Jake. Okay. What is editing? I know, stupid question, but what is it?
Well, editing is kind of a broad umbrella that we're going to use to kind of talk about editing and revising.
Okay.
Editing is usually done by somebody who is a professional editor themselves. But it's also something that we as writers need to start doing for ourselves. As we are writing these books, we've got to be able to self-edit. And that's a really important thing. And so revising and editing kind of go hand in hand for us as authors.
Right. So I struggle with editing. I will admit that. That is a rough area for me. But I take feedback that I get from my readers or the person that's reading it. Right now it's Jake. And I expand on it. He's like, hey, you're struggling in this area. Is that's revising, correct?
Yeah. So basically what you're doing is you're taking notes and you're revising. You're taking in all that information that's being given back to you, and you're saying, okay, well, I can take this and I can improve this part of my story, or I can take this and I can, you know, really dig a little bit deeper into emotions, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
And using those tools that are being brought to you by somebody else.
I think that's tough as writers to do in the moment. right? It's like, okay, I have to go back because you're so busy trying to write that scene and just see it and describe it in a way. But then you're, and this is me, right? Maybe not everyone's on that same, but I'm trying to set the tone and get that visual in there and get the dialogue, but then I forget to add that emotion. And that's where my, when I'm revising, that's where I have to put that in. And that takes me a little, that takes me a lot longer to do.
And revising doesn't have to be, it doesn't have to be scary. So many authors are like, oh my gosh, I finished my first draft. Bum, bum, bum. We have to go back in and revise. And authors tend to be like, oh my gosh, you mean I have to go back through this whole entire thing and do this over again?
Right.
And it doesn't have to be a scary thing. It can be something where you just take it piece by piece. There's so many different ways to revise, to edit for yourself. There's some great craft books out there. Self-editing for writers is one that I can think of off the top of my head. There's so many different ways to do it. And the big thing is like Brandon's already doing, like rely on those people that are around you and stuff. This is where having beta readers or alpha readers is really important so that you can kind of start looking at your writing more objectively and starting to say, okay, I have, you know, a weakness in this area. Right. And that's something that I'd like to work on.
Right. And I think when I think of that, right, like going through that process, it's what you have to self-diagnose, what's your weakest area? What do you struggle with? I struggle with emotion in more forms than one.
This is not the writer's therapy. This is the writer's block.
I struggle with adding in that emotion, and I know Jake is very good at that. So I'm like, Jake, I need, where can I add an emotion? How do I add that in? So I'm constantly asking him questions like that, and vice versa. I feel like I'm one of my strong points is dialogue. I'm really good with dialogue.
Brandon is really good with dialogue,
and
Brandon does a great job.
So if anybody needs someone help with dialogue, please let me know. And I'm sure Jake would be willing to offer, you know, his services as well. But we've got our group out there of the Writer's Block beta readers group. So put it out there. You know, you never know. But that's what we have to do. And we learn and we grow. And that just, it's hard to be like, emotion, gross. Ugh. I don't.
Okay, not everybody feels about it the way that you feel about it.
I'm just saying.
you're just throwing that one out there.
Just
in case.
Whoever, right? So I feel that's the part I think that most authors, that's where they slow down. And that's incredibly frustrating because you do have to take a lot of time to make sure everything's hitting just right. And that's kind of where I'm at. And I've been getting frustrated because I'm like, oh, I need this to move on a little bit quicker. And Jake, that is not a dig at you by any means.
I know. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. I'm just reassuring you. But it's a slow part of the process and it sucks. It totally sucks. I don't care what any author says. I fucking hate editing. Fucking hate it.
And see, I
hate it.
I am growing to love revising because it makes the story so much better. I will admit that I would really prefer to draft something. Like, yeah, absolutely, yeah. I love the idea of the story and getting in there. But I'm starting to come around to revising a little bit more, you know?
I mean, it's good on you.
Well, thank you.
I fucking hate it.
And that's okay.
But I understand, like, it takes... Editing slash revising is taking a good story and making it great. And that's it's just part of the process. You have to clean it up, right?
Yeah.
Jason, you got your hand up?
Yep. I hate it too. It sucks.
Jason, it's so good to hear from you.
Yes, Jason.
I'm actually at work right now, so I'm actually kind of hiding in a corner in the middle of a car underneath an overpass right now, just trying to watching people drive by. So
anyway. I love it.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Editing. I am currently working on my book that I have been editing now for about 3.5 months. I actually had to add like 8 chapters to it. And because I just felt it needed. And dialogue is actually really easy for me for some reason. I always get compliments on my dialogue and all that stuff. It's just the small nuance things that kind of get me every once in a while that kind of just really piss the fuck out of me. And I just want to throw the laptop across the living room or whatnot. But my albatross is definitely editing too. You do a lot better editing than your first draft always, but it's just, it for some people, myself included, it's a challenge. Let's just put it that way.
Now, Jason, I have a quick question for you too. Are you an overwriter or an underwriter? Because that really affects how you revise as well.
Well, actually, okay. My first book, I was an extreme overwriter. I did like 300,000 words.
Oh my gosh.
Jesus Christ.
Wow. And that's how much I cut like 200,000 out.
That is impressive. That is so impressive.
My second book, I actually evened out. It was about 125,000 words. I did about 130. So, okay.
Okay.
This book, I underdid it. Small backstory. I kind of wrote this particular story probably 25 to 30 years ago. And I kind of just took it out of the waste bin of hell and resuscitated it. Changed a bunch of characters around, revised it, because my personal view on the world changed since I originally wrote it, and I became a little bit more comfortable with myself to actually take it out of the dumpster and resuscitate it. So I did that, and then I pitched it off to a bunch of people, and they immediately bought it. So
I love it. I love it.
And basically right now it's written, I'm editing. I'm almost done with the first edits. I actually want to send it off to somebody else for an edit because I have, it's very, very I wouldn't say personal, but it's very close.
And yeah, which makes it harder.
Exactly. You when you write a book, especially if you have read it and you know what it is in your mind, you overlook things. That's the human brain. Yeah. It does that. Everybody does that. Anybody who's saying it doesn't, they're lying to themselves and everyone else around you. Deal with it. Move on. and so you kind of need somebody else to take a perspective to look at it. Because there are going to be things you're going to miss. Anybody says they can edit their own book by themselves is also lying and move on.
Now, can we edit as much as we can though?
Oh, absolutely. Edit it to where you think it's great. All right. And then send it off to somebody else because they're going to take a hacksaw to it. Trust me. I learned that one in my second book. The first book, I thought I knew everything in the world. And I had the ego to the match. Yeah, that when I sent it off to the editors, it came back with so many freaking red tags. I literally just like, okay.
It's so overwhelming when that happens.
It humbles you very fucking
quickly. Oh, yeah. It's like, okay, well, obviously I don't know the fuck I'm doing here.
Yeah.
But it just is what it is. And so, yeah, the second time around, I came a little bit more humble, and it's like, okay. And then that's when I realized I need somebody else before I send it to my publisher to go over it, because obviously there are things that I have missed. And after I see the red tags and I look at it, it's like, oh, yeah, that makes absolutely logical sense. Yeah. How the fuck did I miss that?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I'm an idiot.
I'm going to guess that you are much better at those things that have been red tagged than you used to be.
Oh, absolutely. I absolutely am now. In fact, I purposely look for those things now and I go back. Like, I had a tendency to, like, you know, start a chapter a certain way. And I kept repeating that over and over and over again. And it's like, why? And then I look at it, it's like, oh, fuck. Why did I? That's stupid. Okay, I'm an idiot. So, yeah, I had small things like that kind of, you know, or kind of like putting, you know, like repeating yourself over again. You know, yeah. I've done that. You know, it's like, oh, shit. Oh, yeah. Well, that's definitely don't need to repeat myself there. So.
Yeah, that happens to all of us for sure. And yeah. I really am grateful for beta readers and stuff that are able to pull stuff like that out.
Yeah. Oh no, I'll do an edit. Like I said, I'll get done with my first edit. I'll probably do a quick breeze through, and then I actually have a guy I'm going to send it to, and he'll do edits on it too, and then I'll probably get one or two beta readers to read it before I send it off to the publisher, just to make sure I'm dotting all the I's, crossing the T's, and not, you know, this one, I you know, like I said, this particular book is probably the best work and also the most scariest
It's always scary when you put yourself into it.
It's terrifying. I mean, you do it and you're gonna want to, like, oh, I need a light on. Help.
Yeah.
That's not, I mommy. Mean, you're talking to Jake on that one. That's not hard for him to be like, I'm scared. Like,
mommy.
Pretty much. That would be me.
Editing, it's a blessing, it's a curse in the long run. Everybody needs to edit. If you don't think you need to edit, then there's something wrong with you.
Because everybody needs to edit.
How big our egos are. I don't think you can edit it yourself. You can, absolutely. But send it to somebody else, because you will miss stuff. Guaranteed. 100%.
That's good. You're going to miss that T when you meant to write the...
Right. Or
a bitch. I missed that fucking thing.
And what happens is after your book is published and you go back and reread it, you find all the stupid shit that you missed. It's like
every time.
Son of a bitch. Son of a bitch. Then you're taking a red marquee inside a book and you're highlighting all your shit. It's like, God damn it.
Yeah.
That is just it. Yes. That is just it.
Right there.
Yeah.
So, and this is out to the group. Jason, you mentioned underwriting. Now, I did kind of the same thing where I overwrote my first one, and now I'm under this, the one I'm currently working on. I very much went underwriting on that one. Jake, would you agree?
We're just a little short.
a little short.
A little shorter than we want to be for comps. So
when we're in revising, how do we as authors get over that? I need to add more to the story. How do you find that? Because that's what I'm struggling with right now. Like, I don't know what needs to be, and you don't know when you don't know, right? Like, I don't know what needs to be added to the story to lengthen it up a little bit, and I'm struggling with that. And I've hit that fucking block, and I'm. So what do we think? How do we move to that next level?
Well, when I had to add, really quick, I'm sorry. When I actually had to add my six, eight chapters, it helped me. I went to Las Vegas for my birthday.
Happy birthday.
This was last year. And my birthday's not for a long time. And I'm so old now. Dinosaurs are younger than I am.
Oh, give me a break.
Shut up.
And so...
Please don't mention dinosaurs.
Hated on the dinosaurs now. God damn it. He's just hating on everybody today. God damn
it. I'm leaving that one alone. I'm leaving that one alone.
I'm so proud of you, Brandon.
So tough. Anyways.
So I just kind of like, okay, so, I mean, I went to Vegas. I was like, you know what? Something like this might be kind of cool in the book. And so I kind of just took things that was kind of going on and lot and what was going on around me and all that stuff. And it's like, okay, well, I mean, can this work? Can this not? I mean, obviously it depends on what story you're writing and what you're writing. I mean, right. Obviously, I mean, this particular book is a horror. It's a vampire LGBT horror movie. Well, actually it might be a horror movie, but
it's going to be at some point, right?
Well, actually I can't discuss that right now.
Okay.
It obviously depends on what you're writing, but I mean, what I did is I basically took things that was kind of going on and it's like, you know, that might be kind of good. So, I mean, kind of look around you. If you need to add something to your story or whatnot, or you need to change something, look around to what's going on in your life or what's going on around you. Even look at the news. I mean, yeah.
There's so much material out there.
Yeah. I mean, right now there's so much material out there in today's climate of news that, I mean, you can do horror, you can do fantasy, you can do just about anything at this point just watching the news. I'm not even going to get to, you know, any particular political view or anything like that. Pick your side. I don't care. And just kind of look at, you know, what's going on, and then you can literally come up with. I mean, so ideas are out there to use. You just have to kind of open yourself up and kind of think about when you're looking at something. Think about it as it would pertain to your story.
Okay.
Well, and you bring up an excellent point, Jason. Like, especially with the new Dune movie coming out and stuff. Like that book in and of itself was an entire political commentary, and so we as authors can take things like politics and really apply them to our story, and that counts for things like 1984 and Fahrenheit 451. Like all of those were real big commentaries on the political vibes that were at the time, and so you can really lean into different aspects of just what's out there right now.
Okay. Absolutely. Jake, have you ever read Dune?
I haven't. It's on my to be read list because
who told you it was a political commentary?
The Cliff Notes.
You are full of shit. You are totally full of shit. I told you that.
Brandon Morehouse told me that. That's where I get all my information.
I was like, Lion Bastard. That is not easy. You've never read that book.
I know I haven't read it. That's why I mentioned the movie.
Yes. So. Okay. Well, Jake, is there anything else you want to say about editing? I mean, there's a lot we need to talk about on editing. We'll probably have to come back to this in season 4, I feel. Yes. Like. Yes, we'll put that down.
Editing is like bending over and letting the devil have his way with you.
Oh, that is very descriptive.
Coming in hot with that one. Jesus.
Behave.
Yeah.
But for real, she's not wrong.
And if you get an editor, you know, the devil has a hot poker instead of a dick.
Plus, you have to pay. Like, if you have an editor, you have to pay. And editors are not cheap. They are so expensive.
You pay them to fuck you.
Yeah.
Yep, about $2,500.
Yep.
Y'all were talking about overwriting and underwriting, and Jake knows I am a terrible overwriter.
Not terrible, wonderful. You're a wonderful overwriter.
I can't get through a rough draft because of the overwriting.
But you always stick with it until you get to the word count that you need to.
Mm-hmm.
It just is hard sometimes.
Have you seen my last murder book?
I know.
It was awful. I don't know. I always felt like it was easier to take away than it was to add.
Personal. And see, that's where it's like personal preference stuff, because I've heard so many people say, you know, oh, I like to underwrite because then I can just add stuff in. And then there are the people that are like, oh, I like to overwrite because it's so much easier to cut it. And really, that's...
I mean, I can cut scene, like, a paragraph or two. Like, I love descriptions. But I really like to pare down the descriptions, unlike reading 2 pages of somebody describing a lake when I'm going, okay, the lake's pretty. Get over it. Keep going. You know, if I'm describing a death scene and I've got 2 paragraphs describing, you know, the climate around the scene, then if I can pare that down to one word sentence that is effective, I'm good with that. But my problem is I have so many, many mysteries.
It's all the breadcrumbs.
Yeah, and I had to go in. I had 3 different plot lines playing out, and I was already at 135,000 words, and I was only 3/4 of the way done.
Yeah.
So I had to go in and cut out an entire plot line before I could keep going, because what's the point in continuing a plot line if I'm just going to cut it in the end?
Which is so hard to do, because you really have to just... kill your darlings. It's so hard because you've written so much and you're like, oh, but it's so good.
But I mean, you know, like descriptions, as far as if you're describing, you wouldn't be, but if you're describing the air around an electrocution and you're saying, you know, the birds quit singing, the wind quit blowing, everything got quiet. And you can go on for 2 or 3 paragraphs just describing the scene around it, or you can pare it down to the air around them was as if nature felt death's breath.
Ooh, good line.
Nice. That was good.
And then you can kind of get, or, you know...
you can get a lot in with a little.
It's almost as if nature ran away in fear. So, I mean, there's many ways you can do it if you're needing to cut, but if you're including an entire plot line.
That's a different story.
Well, so you guys are talking about editing. I it's probably doesn't count, but I count revisions, I guess, or rewrites as part of the editing process. And
yeah. That's what we're talking about too, is all the revisions, all the everything, and we're kind of using them interchangeably right now.
Right, well, I have an example of that. That's part of my process. Last year, I got about 50,000 words into a manuscript before I kind of gave up on it, and I'm working on it now, and I basically took that story and I changed the perspective of who's leading the story and viewing the story, and I told the same amount of story in 15,000 words instead of 50. So some of that is, you look at your story sometimes and you have to go, okay, am I telling this from the right perspective in order to get the same beats and be able to squeeze in as much as possible? Because I'm writing a chonky little monkey right now. Oh my God.
Which is awesome. That's exciting.
Right. But yeah, that some of that too is just getting the thing onto paper, like long, and then looking at it and going, oh, okay, so if I told it from this person's perspective, I can hit these beats and I can do it in like a third of the word count. Is, I mean, sometimes this is a marathon. Oh my God, I hate it. editing, I will say this right now, just in regards to editing, revisions, and rewrites, that is where the work is. That's where you make your book become your book.
Yeah.
Period. The end. There.
You move a manuscript into a novel.
Yeah. Exactly. I describe it. When you're writing a first draft, you're pulling a stone out of a mountain, and then your revisions, your edits, all that and whatnot is you chiseling the rock down into a statue. That's, you know, like M says, you take a manuscript, you turn it into a novel.
Yeah. Which,
but I don't, you know, and you need help for that. Like, Jason was saying, you don't see your mistakes because you've got the story in your head. You're putting in words that aren't there. You're overlooking things that you have right in your head, but they're not right on the page.
That's why the read aloud feature is so useful.
Oh, I use that all the time.
Not if you're ADD. Brilliant. Not if you're ADD. No.
I was going to say, I think too that part of Brandon, part of your struggle with the one that you're working on right now is you are so used to writing in third person omniscient, and you are changing point of views for this one. And it's hard to write from just one character's point of view.
Yeah, I think it's definitely, this book has definitely challenged me in a lot of ways. And you guys have got my brain thinking, well, I could write, maybe this would work and maybe this would work. So this is what we're here for, right? We'll get through the writer's block together and give each other tips. And
yeah, you could do a whole show on just a bitch fest on editing.
That was the original intention, was to have the whole show on editing.
Yeah.
I just ruined it.
No, you did not ruin it. We're just glad that you're okay.
I made the decision, first of all. I made the decision to cancel the show. So
That is true.
That was my choice. And I've already put this down. Editing is going to be a season 4 episode. I've already put it down on paper.
Perfect. So.
All right. I'm just going to shoot this out there for those who might need the little extra tip. Something that I found is working for me is I'd try, except for this last one when I had 3 plot lines, I try to let my first draft be the first draft. I don't go through and don't try to fix anything, but I line it up to where, okay, first draft, second draft is of course the read through, third draft's when I start making the revisions, and I will go in on the third draft and all I really change is any descriptions I need to make more impactful or less impactful. Character interactions, I make those changes, and then I will move on to another area on my list that I fail in, and then I'll go for the fourth draft, the fifth draft. But that's how I do it because I'm ADD, because if I take and I bite off the entire chunk, it's so overwhelming, I don't want to do it.
Yeah.
And that is the thing, revising can be so overwhelming, and yeah. Do take it in chunks. Do not try to, I mean, unless your brain works that way and you want to do it that way.
Right.
And be like, I can't even get through a chapter without revising. So I can't do a first draft. My first draft is like a third or fourth draft.
I hate you, Trig.
Now, I enjoy seeing, because I'll have my first draft marked first draft. And then I may have draft 8. But I like seeing what it started with and how it ended.
Yeah. It's nice to see the progress.
Yeah. All right. Well, I would love for us to stay on this topic, but we are quickly running out of time and we have a whole nother topic we need to continue on to. And that would be summer marketing.
Yay.
Yes. It is that time of year. It is quickly approaching. Jake, what is summer marketing?
Marketing for the summer season.
There you go. I don't know where I was going with that.
I don't know where you were going with that either.
I don't know either.
Swap the words around, it would make sense.
Normally you ask me this stuff, so I don't know what. Yeah. So by now you should be planning, you should have already implemented for indie authors and any author in general, you should have your spring stuff set, right? Your spring marketing. And because you do marketing for each season is completely different. Right, Jake?
Now, Brandon, I'm going to pause you right there and throw kind of a wrench in really quick.
Go ahead.
What's the difference with marketing if your book is just barely coming out in a specific season versus marketing if your book has already been out and you... this is just a continuation of trying to get those sales.
There is a difference. So if you're promoting a new book, you want to do a launch, have a countdown of a launch, and make sure you're acknowledging that countdown every single day. Because we all like to, people get excited when they see numbers dropping, right? And they're getting closer to this book. You should, if you're launching in the summer a new book, you should have it out to specific readers already. Key people in that kind of industry or in that genre. Like, they should already have a copy of it so they have time to read and get through it. And then they can promote it, right?
Which is what we call ARC copies or advanced reader copies.
Yes. Get those copies out so they can read it, because you want to give them plenty of time. And then you can start, they will start generating pre-sales, which is really good when it comes available, because those count for you and in a lot of different ways. So when it comes on the market and you've got this massive amount of sales all of a sudden, Amazon will then help promote it. So those algorithms kick in and they work in your favor. Now, that's if you have it on Amazon. But if you have a marketing, if you have a publisher and you have a marketing department, they should already be working on this as well.
Well, and I'm going to be honest right now, in traditional publishing, marketing budgets aren't what they used to be. And right. So a lot of the marketing falls on the author's shoulders. So, yes. Which is a big reason that we talk about this continuously. Why we talk about marketing on the show.
So. Yeah. It's one area. It's an area that I think a lot of authors, Jake and I both agree that a lot of authors struggle with.
Because we're writers, we're not marketers.
Yes. Well, I've got 2 degrees in marketing, but that's not the point.
That's cheating.
Jason, you got your hand up. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was actually just going to say that about marketing, how the publishing companies now are basically leaving marketing up to the authors now. Yeah. Most of them are not doing very much for marketing for the authors, unless if you're like a big name or they know they're going to be making, you know, a lot of money on it or something like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's good to know. That's becoming the norm now. It's definitely changed than it was even like 6 or 7 years ago.
Right.
You think they could pay to reflect that though?
You think, but yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I can go on a tangent on the publishing industry right now, but I'm not.
I think that it's one of those good things to note that, you know, that's going to fall on your shoulders. So in addition to being a writer, you have to get good at marketing. You have to get good at promoting yourself. And that's something that a lot of newer authors may not be aware of, and it's something that you're going to have to jump into pretty darn quick. Yeah. So
be prepared to talk about yourself and your writing journey. Now, one area that I can't stress enough is farmers markets. Great. Okay. They are a great way to get your name out there, and you have to pay for your spot, right? And sell your book or not. At least it's getting your name out there. Like, oh, because people, once they see like a local author, they're more opt to buy it, right? Like, oh yeah, I'm a local author, I live right here and blah blah blah, and would you like to buy my book? And one thing I've noticed when I do mine is I have two different, and we've talked about this before, is two different prices on the book. You can either buy the book for $17 or I can autograph it for you for $20. 9 times out of 10, they're going to take the $20.
And yeah. So
you're making more money.
Those autographed books.
Just those autographed books.
Also, summer marketing can also be things like craft fairs as well.
Yes.
Like, I've been to a lot of summertime, like, art and craft fairs. And yep. There are people there with their books. And I'm like, oh, hey, that's cool. Not something that I would have thought of, but really we are in the business of artistry and crafting. So why shouldn't we be there?
For sure. And then, you know, there's some, this, like a lot of places will have summer reading programs. So check with your local library, see what's going on. Especially if you have a kid's book, they might be looking for authors to write. parades are a great way if you can get on a float for being on the library float or whatever. Awesome. You're promoting yourself in that way. There's different ways of doing it that is very different from winter or spring, because there's a lot more going on outside, especially in those areas that, like me in the Midwest, where it's very different from fall and winter. All the seasons are very different from each other. Unlike Jake, who basically has one season all the time.
Yeah, right. Just because our seasons are not quite as extreme as yours doesn't mean that we only have one season. Give me a break.
We tend to have pretty extreme seasons, I will say that.
Brandon,
at one point this year, Omaha was colder than the Antarctic, but that's fine.
M says, a float? Make me panic.
I saw that.
I love it. Now, Brandon, it sounds like especially for summer marketing, we're really thinking outside the box, where winter marketing and things are a little bit more standard. Like, obviously you have the holidays and stuff that you're going to market toward. Summer marketing kind of opens this door to this just a whole new world of all sorts of ideas and things that you can promote yourself with, which is awesome, but kind of daunting.
It is a lot, because you kind of have to know, you really have to have a tight schedule on what's happening when and where, and be willing to travel if you need to, because you can go to different communities, right? It doesn't have to be very far out, because they have different fairs and they've got different stuff. So it's kind of regional at that point. You want to look at your regional stuff that's going on, and anywhere you can kind of self-promote, even if it's pulling up your car and selling the books on the back of your car, do it. There's no shame in that. If there's just a fair happening, sweet. Traveling circus. I don't know. I just said traveling circus.
Traveling circus.
I don't even know if that's a thing anymore. But
oh my gosh.
But you could promote your book there, and that gas is a tax write-off. And I think new authors don't think of that, because that's your business. That is a business. It's a tax write-off. So
part of talking about marketing as a whole too is that, again, you cannot just be an author. You have to think of this as a business.
Yes, it is a business. And everything you do for that business is a tax write-off.
Yeah. So what are some other things that are unique to summer?
Vacations.
Cool.
I blanked. I completely blanked right when you said that. I'm like,
You just talked about different regions and stuff. So let's say you're going on an airplane and you're like we've talked about before, like, have one of your t-shirts with the QR code and ask me about my book. I'm an author, that type of thing. But when you do that, make sure you have some books with you.
Yes. Be willing to, here you go, here's my book. And then get pictures of people who buy your book. Like, hey, this person just bought my book and I'm at the airport or whatever, right? And self-promote online. Like, tag it. Hey, do you mind following? Can I tag you in this post? And you're getting a new follower. You're getting likely to have them do a review. It just builds. And that's where we're at with when it comes to marketing. It's not about the big amount. It's the one here, the one there. And they slowly start to build over time, you know?
Is that snowball? Summer snowball.
The summer snowball. Ew. I don't want to say snowball, because
I'm sorry.
You probably don't know what that means, but I'm just going to leave that one alone. Anyways, don't look that up, Jake.
Okay. Okay. I won't.
Look it up, Jake.
Don't look it up, Jake. No, don't. Do not look it up. If you know what it is, do not encourage Jake to look it up. Go ahead. Your hand is up.
What do you think of these? I mean, there's like a thousand of the book marketers that are constantly bombarding the DMs. I know you all get them. What do y'all think about those?
I mean,
I see them on Instagram. Yeah.
So here's my take on that, and that is the fact that if you want to go that route and pay somebody to help you with your marketing and you feel like that is going to be something that is beneficial, go for it. I think that you can do plenty on your own. And I think that it's the same thing to me as when people offer to get you book reviews. Like, I don't want some conglomeration of, you know, 50 people that just go and spam my book with reviews that don't really mean anything.
Right.
Well, that's not what I'm talking about. Like, on Instagram, they have people who will read your book and they will give an honest review on it, and they're more influencers than the marketers.
Okay. I get what you're saying.
Do y'all have any experience with those?
I personally don't, but I don't have a book out yet, though Brandon does, but I don't know that he's got any experience with that either.
I've had some experience with that, where they'll be like, hey, I saw your book, I'm willing to read it, and they'll ask me, hey, I'll read it for you, but you're going to pay me this amount, and I'm like, no, I'm not going to pay you to read my book. I'm good, because A, I don't know what kind of review you're going to give. B, I would rather have that honest, like, somebody who genuinely wants to read it. I mean, if someone feels like they want to do that, go for it. I'm leery about it because I don't know the outcome of what's going to happen, and I very much like to have control over my stuff. So I'm like,
That's what I've heard secondhand. I don't have any experience with that, but I talk to people a little further up the trough, so to speak, than me. And from what they say and whatnot, it's sort of a matter of luck of the draw. If, like, one of them, like, reviewing your book on TikTok or something, like, kind of picks up steam and generates you sales, it's kind of a dice roll almost, is what I've heard. That's what I hear. I don't have any experiences, just me saying what other people who are published and have some experience and whatnot have said and kind of shared over the course of my journey. So I wouldn't be into it because, you know, if I'm going to pay somebody some money, at least like a little bit of a guarantee.
Yeah. It feels very snake oil salesman-esque. Or it's like, this is almost too good to be true. Like, and I don't like it when they're like, I promise you, you're going to get this many people in sales. Well, you can't make that promise, right? All you can promise is a review. I'm basically paying you X amount of dollars for a review. That's it.
And that's also with, like, the influencers on Instagram. I'm asking because I'm completely naive to this.
Yeah. I mean, that's what influencers do, right? That's how they make their money. I have nothing particularly against that. I've never had a bad experience, but I would be leery about it because it almost feels like you're repeating the process. How many people are you telling this to, right? You're at some level, you're probably copying and pasting a lot of your reviews over and over and over again. So it doesn't have that genuine feel to it, whereas I would rather have someone who really enjoyed it and be like, you know what, this was really good. I would much rather have that.
Now, I will say there are some very genuine people out there that do reviews and stuff, but they're not going to solicit stuff from you. Right. For like Kidlit and stuff, there's this marvelous young man who goes by E-Train Talks, and he does reviews of thousands and thousands of books and just gives an honest opinion of them, and he is a young star in the making. He's really, really just, I'm very impressed by him. And he just does it because he loves reading. He loves right. books. So, you know, there are some really quality people out there that are doing it for the right reasons, but most of the time they're not going to be the ones reaching out and being like, hey, I will guarantee you this, that, and the other.
Yeah.
I know, like, even things, my agent has told me to join, like, Thriller Authors of America, because they have a lot of influence.
Well,
I don't have a book in hand yet, so it makes me, like, very nervous. I'm like, what the heck am I doing out here with these guys?
You joined that for a specific reason, though, to have a group that is supportive and with people that have the similar interest. That's different. I think that in of itself could be a really big deal. And even though you don't have a book out yet, that doesn't mean you can't contribute to the discussion.
Yeah, I agree with Jake. That's to me, that's different, because you're joining a group of people that have all written kind of the same thing, and you're there to help each other. Now...
Well, they actually have criminalists and people like that that can help you from the FBI or the ATF and get stuff like that correct. And I'm like, yeah, but I still feel odd. Maybe it's the imposter syndrome, because I'm like, okay, some of these guys are big names and I'm not. I'm like a little
not yet
tiny fish.
Not yet.
But that it starts creating those connections, right? That's what those groups are about, is creating that connection. Like, hey, you know, I have this person that's from the ATF that can help me make this more solid and make my world better, right? And then I'm then connecting with this person, and I that is big in that genre. And so with a group like that, I absolutely would say join it and start contributing what you can and making comments, and then it starts getting your name out there. And then that's how you start getting FaceTime, right? That's how people start to know who you are. And that's how you snowball into becoming a big author.
Thriller Authors of America doesn't cost anything if you are already under contract with a publisher.
That's perfect.
But Horror Writers of America or Horror Writers of something, you know, that one's like $200 to become a member. So I'm like, yeah, I'm still a little nervous.
No, I totally get that. And I do think that a lot of that is imposter syndrome.
Yeah.
You just have to own the fact that you have written a book and it is a thriller book. The end, period. Yeah. That makes you a thriller writer. So you're part of that league.
I mean, I would look at it as you're paying a due, right? It's a club. You're paying these dues to join in, and then you get like insights of where people are going to be, or group sessions and stuff like that. So it gives you a connection into it that most people don't have. So I would definitely be looking into that for sure, about, hey, where do we come up with this money so I can join this group?
I mean, it seems like a good thing, but you know how it feels sometimes. You're like, okay.
Oh, 100%. Like, first of all, I don't have that sort of money. Secondly, am I going to get bamboozled? Right? This is a scam, right? Like, I would say go for it.
Like, how much attention am I going to get when I'm, you know, I'm not even the worm hanging off the hook yet?
Right.
Oh, you are already the worm. You became the worm the moment you wrote that book.
You're so positive, Jake.
I am definitely going
to. I know, isn't he?
It's disgusting.
Now do me. Now do me, Jake. Make me feel good.
We're going to have a positivity session where I'm just going to compliment all of you and tell you how wonderful you are, because you are.
I will.
Jake's going to do a session on how to negate imposter syndrome.
What?
I said you're going to do a session on how to negate imposter syndrome.
Maybe. I don't know if I'm qualified for that.
I'm done with you, Jake. I'm really
ridiculous. I've just given you a compliment.
I know.
Take the fucking compliment.
Thank you.
All right.
Now who's got imposter syndrome? Right?
Like, oh, Jake, just take the fucking thing. Jake.
Yes.
We are out of time.
Yes, we are. Two topics is hard to cover in an hour.
That is a lot to cover in an hour. And, you know, we did a good job with it. You know, I think that was great. I do want to say out real loud, and thank you everyone for all the downloads. We passed 900 downloads.
Yay! It's so exciting.
That's so exciting. Now we're pushing that 1,000. Going for that 1,000.
We're going to make it.
We'll get there.
So easy. So easy.
Speaking of, where can they listen to us again, Jake?
Podbean.com or any streaming platform.
Yes, and don't forget to give us a like and a follow. A comment would be great, but I don't want to ask too much of y'all.
Oh, yes, you do. Yes, you do.
Yes, comments would be great. Yes, so whatever you can do, that would be awesome. Next week, Jake, do you know what we're talking about next week?
No, I forgot to look.
Oh, my God. You think?
I know. I'm sorry.
You've been sick, so I'll let it go.
I have been slacking.
Next week is our St. Patrick's Day theme. Okay. And we're talking about kind of two topics while the police go by my house. Oh, it's a fire truck. Awesome. Even better. We'll be talking about drinking and the use of color for imagery.
I have so many things to ask.
I am a master Jedi here.
Oh. Love it.
Jason, you better be there then.
Yes. Better be there. So we'll be talking about that next week. And yeah, I think that's all I have.
That's all I've got. Thank you
so much. That's all she wrote. I can't resist. All right. Thank you, everyone. We will see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.